Welcome to the Hidden Potential Podcast. I'm your host, Homer Hargrove, and today we're going to talk about things to change in year one of a new leadership position. Every week, I bring you good content to be able to help you grow in your leadership and tap into your hidden potential. I do that through principles in your ideology and mindset and practical ways to help you grow. In this As we get started, I want us to look at a big thought for this kind of idea, and that is one of the first things that generally happen when a new person is put in charge is them changing the name. It's the first thing you do. Let's change the name. I think that our first instinct is to take this sense of possession over the organization or ministry by renaming it and changing it to fit into our personality. The reason this can be very unproductive and even dangerous is because it is done out of ego rather than critical thinking. It's done out of how I see myself, validation rather than actual efficiency. And today we're going to unpack some of the first things that you should do and maybe not do within the first year of being put in charge with a new leadership position. This is such an important topic because it will save you loads of time and energy. I know from experience, one of the first things I would do back in the day is change the name. I'm talking about saving some time and energy and making you more efficient, more effective during your intro season to that leadership position. We're gonna focus on three major aspects of this kind of introductory leadership, and that is time investment, cultural molding, and system efficiency. While each of these topics could really be their own episode altogether, just by themselves, today I'm going to give you just a simple overview in order to help you get started. So let's get into it with number one, time investment. Time investment. The first thing that you should consider with your new position is time. 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 Start by asking yourself questions like this. How long was the person before me in this position? How long was the person before them in this position? How long do I see myself being in this position? And what is a general lifetime of a potential impact of the people that I will serve from this position? Let me say that last one again. What is the general lifetime of potential impact for the people that I will serve from this position? So to make it clear what I'm saying, I'll share from a ministry point of view. The average youth pastor has a longevity of 2 years. Okay, that's the average youth pastor from a study done. Now, it could be more, it could be less, but just look for where you're at. Look at the person before you and the person before them, and it will give you a good idea of how long you're going to be there. The other side of this, you're talking about you. Now, look at your potential impact. I've found, well, let's just stick to youth ministry. Youth ministry, for example, if you're talking about a high school student from freshman onward, you have 4 years of impact, okay? That's a really short time when you're looking at the longevity of a consumer, per se, within church. And you can use that same kind of thinking for whatever organization or ministry you're looking at. As another example, for me, I work, I go to recovery centers a lot on a weekly basis, and at one detox center that I go to, they are only there for 4 to 5 weeks. So I only have really 4 to 5 opportunities of potential impact. That helps me understand what kind of investment I need to make when it comes to time. Same goes for whatever else you're looking at. Now, starting off with this kind of perspective is critical when you're making decisions that are efficient. That's what we want as a new leader, is we want to be efficient in what we do. And if your position expectancy is only 2 to 3 years, then changing the name might not be the highest on your to-do list. Maybe it shouldn't be on the highest of your to-do list, given that it will most likely just change again with the next leader. That's what I think is hilarious about student ministry, is that the name will change with every youth pastor. Even when I left my previous youth pastor position, I put in a proposal for the church to eliminate the name that I gave it and change the church's name, change the student name to the church's name, and just make it blank students, blank youth group, rather than making it a new silo ministry every time, because the name would just keep changing. You want to be efficient. You want to make things better. And understanding your timeline also better helps you to understand how to invest the limited time that you have. Remember, no matter where you're at, your time is limited. Even if you're going to be there 5 years, 10 years, your time is still limited. And you will make much more focused and effective decisions when you're thinking about years down the road rather than just the moment you're currently living in. It's really exciting when you're getting this new position, this new authority, this new leadership, and it's easy to stay in that moment, but you want to just breathe for a second and think about, what about a year from now, 3 years from now? And it will, again, help you to make more effective decisions like that. Now that we understand time investment and looking at our leadership position as a time frame rather than this is what I'm going to do till I die, now let's look at culture molding. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. It's one of the most key understandings when it comes to culture. Rules without relationship will lead to rebellion. Just because you have earned a position or were given a position doesn't mean that the people around you necessarily will trust you or respect you. You haven't earned that position from them. You haven't earned that trust or respect from them. And so often young leaders, they come in hot and they want to throw around their new authority by changing things left and right that don't even necessarily need to be changed, but it's exciting and they're all fired up while everyone else around them is like, who the hell do you think you are? And it's almost like this mentality that you're renting a new house and you want to paint the walls even though you don't own it. That's what it feels like for the people you're serving. And you should spend really the first several months of your leadership by learning, connecting, and adjusting to your new role. I mean, you will pull your back out if you try to just lift everything and change everything all at once. Allow yourself to adjust to that new position and take that time to learn about the people, learn why people do the things they do, connect with them, and even just learning why people do the things learning why people do the things the way that they do them before you decide to change it. Imagine taking the time to understand why you want to change it yourself instead of just saying, oh, I don't want to do it like that. Why don't you really want to do it like that? Is it because you're not used to that and it makes you uncomfortable because you don't understand it? Well, guess what? That's how other people will feel once you change it. And so taking time to really understand the why. And anything that you're set on changing, imagine meeting with those people first to talk about it and discuss the possible changes with them, hear from them. Because if you give your people this kind of respect, they will respect you. And you might just find out that there are certain reasons of which why that are beneficial, that if you were to just change them ignorantly, you would have created more problems than solving them. And if you want your people to behave a certain way culturally, you must understand that there's a study done and it takes about 2 years. It takes an average of 2 years to really change culture. So don't think that you could just come in hot, change a bunch of things, and expect people to just blindly follow you. You can't expect real change to happen overnight. It takes an incredible amount of intention and grace. You're going to need grace, and you're going to need to extend grace if you really want to mold the culture to be something different than what it is. Now, the final thing we're going to talk about is system efficiency. Now, the systems of an organization, this is where we can really get excited, because the systems of an organization is where you can truly shine as a new leader in charge. This is taking a deep dive look into how things are run and finding ways for it to be better. This is where the initial changes can actually make a real difference. It's within the systems that we can really look and make some changes. And I want us to consider this, that changing the name of an organization has never really saved it from self-destruction. But changes in the systems in which it operates can have incredible results that could even save an organization that was destined for failure. Start by doing an inventory of all the different things that your organization or ministry offers, and start big and work your way smaller. As an example, like from my church, I would list out Sunday in-person service. I would list out small groups, recovery center outreach, online services, community connection, among other things. And I would start listing these big things that we do that is how we serve people, and I can make it smaller and smaller. But start big, work your way small. Once you do that, then analyze and list out the current systems, steps, and roles that are in place for these offerings. The things that are already there, just get it all on paper, spreadsheet, whatever. And once you list all of these steps, systems, and roles out, look for any overlap. Look for any repeated steps that could be eliminated. Perhaps there's maybe when it comes to saying like a formal request, people email one person and then that person emails someone else. Well, is it possible to eliminate one of those emails? I'm telling you, even just eliminating small stuff like that makes way for a lot of progress. You want to eliminate repeated steps and eliminate overlap steps that are unnecessary. Then look for things that aren't necessarily essential that could be eliminated. And this is kind of like going right up to the edge of stepping on someone's toes. That there might be some people a little uncomfortable by this, but as an example, say that there's a sub ministry that was started out long ago at some point by someone that is no longer there, but the ministry goes on just because. Like an example, imagine a Spanish group inside of a church that this person who started it is no longer even at the church, and there's just like straggling five members who are a part of this Spanish group, but they're all bilingual anyway. The English is their first language, but they happen to speak Spanish. See, that's like a simple group that it's not that it's necessarily damaging to the whole organization, but it is not necessarily essential and it can be eliminated. Look for things like this within the group, within the organization, within the ministry, and start eliminating. And the reason we're doing this is because that is extra energy and effort in your organization that is going to things that, I don't want to say that don't matter, but that could be directed to the things that really, really do matter for your group. Next, look over people's responsibilities, people's current responsibilities, and see if there's anything that can be shifted or rearranged in order to be simpler or more efficient, especially if you're looking at paid staff members. It needs to be done on a volunteer level too, but your focus, again, within the first year should really be efficiency. All the other things, when it comes to culture, that's a long-term goal. But these are things that could be efficient right away. And as an example, again, this is your organization, your ministry is going to be unique, but this is an example. Maybe you have two student ministry groups. You have a middle school group and a high school group. You have a middle school director or middle school pastor and a high school director or pastor. And you have these two separate groups, but you only have 30 students altogether. You got 10 students here, 20 students here. See, that can easily be switched to just one youth pastor in one service. Why are we having them at two different services, two different leaders, when it really can be collaborated into one? And the reason that we're doing this is because learning to be efficient is more about making current ideas better than it is about creating new ideas. You're trying to have this determined mindset, knowing that your job is not to change everything into something new, but your job is to make what has already been created the best that it could possibly be. That is your goal when it comes to making your systems more efficient. Now, let's end with some three takeaway questions. And that is, number one, do a time inventory by listing out realistic goals you want to accomplish within your new position for the first 6 months, the first 12 months, and the first 3 years. Make some realistic goals that you want to accomplish and break it out into that kind of timeline. You can make it more specific to you, but this is to get you started. Number two, identify three cultural behaviors that you want to keep and three that you want to mold into, that you want to achieve it by setting the example yourself. Three cultural behaviors that you want to keep and three that you want to enter into. And the rest, you might be just falling at the wayside slowly but surely. Number three, do an analysis of your organization or your ministry and identify five steps or systems that can either be eliminated or simplified. Talking about real practical, find five steps or systems that can either be eliminated or simplified. Make anything you want as unique as you need it to make. But I hope that this episode was edifying for you. I hope that was helpful in your leadership. All that being said, could you do me a favor? Could you leave a rating and review for this podcast? It really helped me out and it helped this podcast be seen by others. All that being said, thank you for being a part. Have a good life.